Please be seated. Good morning. During the 4th of July holiday here in Boston, we talk a lot about freedom. We sing about it, celebrate its birthday, and mark it by taking days of freedom away from work. We're reminded by the scripture passages appointed today, this the fourth Sunday after Pentecost, that freedom is complicated, at least complicated enough to deserve not just a birthday party, but also a reflective time, some meditation, and a theological investigation. I thank God for the sacred texts that prompt such reflection today, and I'm glad to be here so we can reflect on them together. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Before I spend some time dwelling on our texts from Genesis and Matthew, I want to share with you a memory of a conversation I had 15 or 20 years ago that was the first thing that came to mind as I got reflecting on the complex nature of freedom. My husband Dan hails from Duluth, Minnesota. And ever since we met, we've gone to visit his hometown regularly. My early visits entailed more than a little culture shock. Populated with proud and pioneering Norwegians and Swedes who value privacy and seclusion in nature enough to endure 8-month winters, Northern Minnesota is stubborn country. I'm from Connecticut, the land where good fences make good neighbors, and where Bostonians and New Yorkers are kept out by whole Connecticut towns run by zoning and planning commissions. I thought I knew stubborn. I was wrong. Dan has two friends from high school who married each other, John and Amanda. And John and Amanda ride Harleys. When I first learned that fact about them, I thought that riding a Harley-Davidson motorcycle was about riding motorcycles. But again, I was wrong. Riding Harleys, to John and Amanda, is an important spiritual practice that helps them feel connected with the earth, nature, and community. In this case, the community of other Harley riders. As I got to know them better and asked them more about this spiritual practice, definitely coming off like a total nerd and sticking my foot in my mouth repeatedly, I learned that one of the important attributes of this spiritual practice for John and Amanda is riding without a helmet. You can imagine the record screeching. The sound in our conversation of silence. When I told them that I think riding a motorcycle without a helmet is wrong, I could see Dan cringe. I could taste the awkwardness that followed my comment. I could have dropped it, of course, but what unfolded instead was a fascinating conversation between John, Amanda, and me about freedom. John and Amanda believe that they're exercising their right to a sensation. when they ride without helmets. I pointed out to John and Amanda that their freedom to ride without helmets actively infringes on my right to drive a car without being terrified of killing someone on a motorcycle. They believe that their safety risk represents their choice about their own bodies. I believe that I contribute to a society that would have to take care of them if they were injured and they were unable to take care of themselves. The conversation was memorable and respectful, and thankfully, it didn't cost Dan a lifelong friendship, even though it was touch and go a few times there. We often see bumper stickers that read, "Freedom isn't free." But if we take seriously today's scripture lessons, we come to see that the bumper sticker should actually say, "Freedom isn't freedom." What makes one person free could very well encumber another person, as long as we live on a planet with an ecosystem and in communities with other people. In Matthew's gospel, Jesus tells us to take up his yoke, saying, "Come to me, all you who are weary and carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." Without equivocation, Jesus tells us that we are like beasts of burden, who, without Christ, are yoked to sin and death. He implores us to choose a different burden, following the word of Jesus and trusting in his resurrecting power. He tells us that everyone is yoked to something, but we can choose a life-giving yoke. By doing so, sure, we give up some freedom as we become obligated to love each other and love God. But, argues Jesus, isn't that a better burden than the one you have now, where you're yoked to stuff or addiction or fear? This past week has had more than its fair share of record screech moments when it comes to civic conversation about freedom, particularly freedom of religious expression. Hobby Lobby's corporation owners want the freedom to express, through what insurance costs they cover, their particular interpretation of how Christianity views birth control. The Supreme Court this week protected Hobby Lobby's freedom, but left employees of corporations everywhere to wonder about how much of their freedom might be taken away in deference to a corporation's religious views. It's a good question. Also in the news this week, women who seek treatment at Planned Parenthood clinics want the freedom to do so without harassment or intimidation, at least not directly in their faces. Protesters at the same clinics want the freedom to speak out on a matter that to them is deeply religious in nature. Where those protesters were once held at buffered distances, they won't be anymore. In both of these headline news stories, we hear debate where one person or group's freedom is coming into conflict with the freedom of another person or another group. It's impossible not to notice that in both matters, The debate over whose freedom will be privileged was resolved by taking away some freedom from women in particular. Can that be an accident? Rebecca would probably say no. Freedom isn't freedom in any pure or simple sense when we recognize that human beings are interconnected in what Martin Luther King Jr. calls an inescapable network of mutuality. When one person's freedom interferes with the freedom of another, there's no way around it. We have to talk. Freedom, when we live out of our agency, must coexist with covenant, where we choose to bind ourselves to something greater. How do freedom and covenant coexist? With great difficulty, and never without discernment and wisdom. We find some guidance in our Old Testament lesson on how freedom and covenant have interacted with each other throughout the history of our faith. And we find that guidance in the story of Rebecca. When compared with her eventual husband, Isaac, Rebecca is a colorful character in Genesis. Where one author calls Isaac one who avoided conflict throughout his life, Rebecca shows what Dr. Julie Faith Parker called extraordinary agency. Let's return now to the story read to us earlier of Rebecca, a Mesopotamian girl and the daughter of Abraham's nephew, who was probably 14 or 15 years old at the time of the events described in our Genesis passage. Rebecca hears around the village that the servant of a wealthy man who resides in Canaan has come to town. And he's driving 10 camels loaded with expensive gifts. She leaves her tent to fetch water, and while she's there, she sees the servant loitering by the well. Rebecca, who's been raised with good manners, offers the servant water and says she'd be happy to water the camels as well. Evidently, this is just what the servant was hoping she would do. He asks her who her father is and immediately starts adorning her with bracelets on her arms and a ring in her nose. Rebecca watches as the servant bows to the ground, not worshiping her, but thanking God that he's found her. Then the servant goes to the tent of Rebecca's family and confers with her parents and her brother Laban about the possibility of taking Rebecca away. He believes that God intends Rebecca to marry his master's son, Isaac, who's 40 years old and in need of a wife from his own country. Rebecca's family takes the unusual step of consulting with her. Not about the marriage match, that's a done deal, but about whether she's willing to skip the marital feast and leave right away. Rebecca leaps at the chance, mounts a camel along with her handmaidens, and is gone. Professor Carol Fontaine suggests that Rebecca's haste reflects her desire to get away from her greedy and controlling brother, Laban. Rebecca exercises her freedom, shedding a burdensome brother in favor of the unknown. The book of Genesis is replete with stories of troubled families, but our passage today ends happily, with one of only three places in Genesis where we hear about a husband who loves his wife. Considering Isaac's love, as well as what we know of the nation Rebecca mothered, it seems Rebecca chose her burdens well. What can we take from the story of Rebecca as we reflect today on the meaning of freedom? I suggest three teachings we can bring with us into what's left of our celebration of the 4th of July. First, as faithful people, part of freedom is choosing to enter covenantal relationships. But, perhaps ironically, participants in covenants aren't entirely free. Second, we have to recognize that one person's freedom sometimes takes another's freedom away. And we have to pay special attention when the other person is the more vulnerable party in the relationship. We might try to convince ourselves that the winner's freedom is more important, when actually the truth is that the winner just had more power. Third, and finally, that which we gain from living in committed relationship with other people is a lot better than indifference to and isolation from others. The burden we bear as we participate in a network of mutuality with all beings is a yoke that actually feels pretty good. What are you free from? What are you free for? Which of your freedoms do you get to exercise solely out of privilege? And what's your responsibility to those with less privilege? Which burdens do you have that you should shed? And which burdens do you have that are actually worth your while? These are all questions I hope you take away from this time of reflection. And I invite you now to join me in prayer. God, we ask for your blessing. We ask for the blessing of insight as to how we claim the freedom that's ours by giving ourselves over more fully to you. Help us, God, to love ourselves. Help us to love each other. Help us to love especially the most vulnerable. And help us to be faithful to your promise that when we choose the yoke that is Christ, it's you who sets us free. All this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.